you must understand that you can live like Jesus. Now, somebody's probably sitting out their computer screen right now branding me as a heretic and getting ready to burn me at the stake, but I stand by that comment. You can live like Jesus did, and you have been commanded to. What we're getting ready to talk about is going to help you better understand who you are in Christ, and it will help you become more effective in doing what God has called you to do and carrying out your part of the Great Commission and advancing the kingdom of God. Because many people fall into the trap of thinking that there's this massive gulf between them and Christ. And Christ just came to earth to show off how powerful he was. But that's not the case. Something that's becoming kind of like a line I use often is Christ did not come to earth to put on a vain show of his power. He didn't come to put on some vain display of his power and leave and say deuces, bye. He didn't do that. His life and how he lived and what he did became an example to you as a believer. It came an example to his followers, showing them that with my power, with my ability, you can do the same thing that I did. Now, understand something before we move forward. That is not to say that you can match Christ in his divinity, in his deity, in his full glory and power. That is not what we're saying. There's a story I remember hearing a couple of years ago. There was a preacher who had a following. He was pretty popular, but he wasn't mainstream, but he did have a following. And he got off in some things. He got into serious error with a lot of things. And one thing was he wouldn't correct how his followers viewed him. People who followed his ministry, he didn't correct them. And a lot of them began to really worship the man. And they began to look at the man more than they looked at God. And I remember one time there were people coming out making videos about this certain preacher, if you can. And I remember watching one of these videos. It just came up on my feed. And I don't know how I stayed that long watching that video. It was only a couple minutes. But somebody, one of the comments that this woman made in this video was so-and-so is, let me get the wording right. But basically they said, so-and-so, this preacher is, Jesus Christ lives in this preacher. So therefore, this preacher is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not what we're talking about. That's error and heresy. That because Jesus Christ lives in this man, therefore he's your Lord and Savior, so now you can worship him. No. And this was in America. This wasn't on like the other side of the earth. We're not talking about that. And I'm not saying that by any means. But what I am telling you is that you have to understand that because Jesus Christ came to earth in the form of man, in the form of a man, was full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and accomplished everything he accomplished through that. And that same power was given to you. Guess what? You can accomplish the same works as Jesus did. And people take issue with that, but you will never be effective until you tap into the power that Jesus had. You will never be effective in doing your part in forwarding the Great Commission, in advancing the kingdom of God, if you are not filled with the same power that Jesus Christ was filled with. You will never be effective. And you have to understand that today, that you and Jesus Christ is not, he's up here and I'm all the way down here. That is not the case. The Bible tells you in Ephesians 1 that you are seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and rulers and all these things. You have to understand that he is your master, okay? He leads this charge. He is the head, but you are united with him. And he has offered to you the same power that he had so that you can be an extension of his ministry. You can carry on his work with effectiveness. So let's understand something today. And what I want to get into today is how you can be like Jesus indeed. You can be like Jesus and accomplish the same works that Jesus accomplished on this earth. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this is because if you haven't heard, I'm getting ready to release a new book, my second book, next month, May 19th, if you haven't heard about it already. It comes out May 19th. And this is one of the overarching principles in this book. Because if you look through the Great Commission that has been given to believers, you'll find it in, I believe, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. If you look at the Great Commission, you begin to figure out that that wasn't some random set of commands that Jesus gave to his followers. Understand that. It begins to mirror what Jesus Christ did while he was on the earth. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Let's look at it. Watch what it says here in verse 15. It says, "And he said to them," Jesus, "go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Now understand something. As I said, Jesus did not just give his disciples and ultimately the church just a random set of commands. He didn't pull it out of thin air and say, "Here, this is what I want you to do. Accomplish it." That's not the case. Jesus Christ left an example and gave his disciples the command to carry on the work that he began through the Great Commission. We see Jesus going and preaching the gospel. We see Jesus casting out demons. We see Jesus healing the sick. We see Jesus walking in authority over the power of the enemy. We see Jesus full of the power of the Holy Spirit. He did not give a different set of commands from what he did. He began the work, and then he told his disciples and his followers, "Carry on the work that I began." Now understand something. If there was a big gulf and such a difference between him and his followers, and, you know, "I'm just so, you know, I'm so great, but you're so lowly, and, you know, you can only aspire to do what I've done, and don't worry about it, but one day you will be like me." That's not the case. That is not the case by any means. While you may not be divine and carry the deity that he does, you are empowered with the same spirit. Understand that. The same spirit that Jesus had. The same spirit that allowed him to accomplish what he accomplished. You carry that same spirit. And he, Jesus Christ, still had to get full of the Holy Spirit's power before he could begin to, he could begin his ministry. He had to get full of the Holy Spirit before he could begin to carry out his ministry, his earthly ministry, and perform miracles. He had to do that. Why was that? Because that was an example to every single person that followed him, that when you get full of the same power, when you do the same things that he did, when you take the same steps that he took, you can accomplish the same thing that he accomplished. Jesus told his disciples in John 14 that he said, "The works that you see me do, you can accomplish those same works. But not only those same works, you can accomplish greater." Not to say that you can supersede him in the quality of his works, but Jesus was one man. The church and his followers are multitudes. So of course, you can accomplish a greater quantity of his works because there's more people. It's not just one man anymore full of this power. There's multiple people. He was the firstborn, but now there's multiple people full of this power that can carry on that same work. Understand that. Understand that today as a believer, you are not put on this earth to sit down and do nothing. You're not put on this earth to struggle through and try to make it through and get beat up by the devil and try to accomplish this great task that nobody can accomplish to advance the kingdom of God. That is not the case. That is not the case by any means. God has provided you with the ability to get it done. He has provided you with the power to get it done. And today you have to understand that I can do what Jesus did through his power. I can be effective in carrying out the Great Commission. I can be effective in doing my part to advance the kingdom of God because I am filled with the same power that Jesus was filled with. I have been given by God the ability to walk like Jesus walked. I can live like Jesus lived. I can act like Jesus acted. You see Jesus going throughout the earth or going throughout Israel, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick and they recover. Guess what? That wasn't, oh great, look what Jesus did. That was an example to you. That was an example to you that when you encounter people in your life, in your sphere of influence who are full of the devil, you have the ability to cast it out. When you encounter those who are sick, you carry the ability and the power to get them healed. Amen. You carry that ability. You're not just here, well, you know, I just got to deal with it. And, you know, when I get to heaven, it'll be all right. And, you know, in God's timing and in God, if it's in God's will, I'll be healed. That's not the case. That is not the case by any means. Understand that. That is not the case. God has given you the ability. That's what you need to say to yourself right now. God has given me that ability. Amen. Amen. And this is what you need to understand as you go forward. That this thing hasn't been locked up. This power hasn't been locked up in Jesus. And we can only dream to accomplish what he did. Not the case. Because look at the apostles. Look at his 12 disciples. They carried on the same works as him. They followed him for 3 years. And look what happened. After he left, they began to continue that work. Even people who are not the 12 apostles. Look at the apostle Paul. He carried on that work. One of the greatest, if you will, apostles. He continued the work that Jesus began. You see him carrying on those works. And he wasn't even one of the 12. He said he was like an apostle born out of his season. He carried on that work. Now, some people will run around and say, well, you know, that power was only for Jesus and the 12 apostles. And God has not given us the ability to lay hands on the sick. He hasn't given us the ability to cast out demons. He hasn't given us the ability to do that. He hasn't given it largely to the church. Not the case. Because there is a believer. We look at the Apostle Paul and say, oh my gosh, he was so great. But what happened to the Apostle Paul back in the book of Acts? After he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, God directed a man to lay hands on him. God directed a man to lay hands on him who was blind. And who was the man? His name was Ananias, and he wasn't an apostle. Understand that. It's in Acts chapter 9. Ananias was not an apostle. He was just a believer. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, watch this. This is after Saul, Jesus came to Saul, and he became blind on the road to Damascus. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, watch what it says here. It says, now there was a believer. Understand that. Or a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And God told this believer what he told him. Lay hands on Saul. I'm sending Saul to your house. He's coming. Lay hands on him. He'll be healed. And he's going to be raised up to do a great work for my kingdom. A believer had a part to play in the success of the Apostle Paul. He laid hands on somebody who was sick, somebody who was blind, and he got healed. And the Apostle Paul also got filled with the Spirit. Understand that. This thing is not left to the 12 and left to Jesus. All who would believe. That's what Jesus said in Mark 16. These signs would follow them that believe. So that is your answer today. That if you think, you know, you're just some lowly Christian that's just supposed to trudge through life and you can't carry no power and you can't accomplish anything for the kingdom of God, that is not the case. That is not the case by any means. And you today need to understand that Jesus Christ has given you the ability to walk, act, and live like him. And now stand up in that ability. Walk in that ability. Live in it. Carry it out with the help of the Holy Spirit. And great things will be accomplished as a result because people, especially in this day and age, do not need another random speech. They are not going to be helped. They have real problems. They are under the attack of the enemy. They are under the grip and the hold of the devil and cannot get out by any other means. They don't need you to wrap your arm around their shoulder and tell them it's going to be all right. They don't need that. They need help from a power that is greater than the power that is holding them in bondage. They need the help of the power of God to set them free from the bondage that they're in, from the sickness that they're dealing with, from the hell that they are continuously going through. They need an encounter with that power. And God has given you that power, not to keep it locked up on the inside of you, but to let it out and meet the needs of those who are hurting and help them be brought into the kingdom of God. That's what you need to do from this day forward. And I believe there are going to be people that are going to tap into that power and see the same results as Jesus did. Amen. Now, we're not only empowered to accomplish the same deeds as Jesus, we're empowered to live like he did. And the Bible, as I said, told you in 1 Peter 2, that Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example on how to live. And watch what the first line says there in verse 22. He committed no sin. He committed no sin. His life, living free from sin and living in authority over sin, was an example to you. It was an example to believers that you don't have to live your life under the hold of sin. You don't have to live under the grip of sin. You don't have to live under his power and sinning every day. You can live free from it through his ability through you. Understand that. The Bible also told you that anyone who claims to be in Christ, anyone who claims to live in him, must live like Jesus did. That's what the Bible tells you in 1 John 2, verse 6. Anyone who claims to be in Christ must live as Christ did on the earth. That's what you're told to do. So don't believe the lie that tells you, you know, you'll never get free from sin. We struggle with sin every day because we're in a flesh suit, in a human suit. Yeah, you'll be tempted to sin, but you don't have to give in to the temptations. You can live in victory over it all the days of your life. And before you even try to accomplish the works of Jesus, you need to get that part in order. Are you saved? Are you living in victory over sin? Or has sin held you like ropes and chains and held you in bondage? If that's the case, today's your day to get free from sin. Today is your day to get completely free from sin. Once and for all. And from this day forward, you make the decision that I'm repenting of my sins. I'm living ready to meet the Lord. And I'm going to walk in victory over it all the days of my life. All it does is bring death and destruction to your life. That's all it does. It does not bring anything good. It may be pleasurable for, you know, a certain season, for a little bit, but after a while, it ties you up and holds you in bondage and you can't get free from it. You will try to get free from it, but you need a power greater than it to set you free. And guess what? That power is available to you today. It's God's power. It's God's ability. All you need to do is receive it and accept it. So if that's you today and you need to repent of your sins and be ready to meet the Lord, I want you to pray with me right now. Sincerely from your heart, and God will forgive you of your sins. The Bible told you that if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you sincerely and in faith call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So you don't have to think maybe God won't hear me. God, I'm just the world's worst sinner. Not the case. That's not the case, because your promise that if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So let's do that today. If that's you, I want you to pray sincerely from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to sacrifice his life for my sin. I believe that he died and was raised back to life for me. So now I ask you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And now I receive the power to live holy until you return. I am no longer a sinner, but I am now a child of God. And I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you just prayed with me and responded to God's call for salvation, I want you to now take the next step. I want to help you to begin to walk on this path of righteousness. Many people get to the point where they feel like, okay, I just got saved, but what do I do next? I want to help you with that. There's a link in the description that'll take you to a page on my website, and I want you to fill out the form there. And when you fill out that form, I'll send you some resources that will help you begin to walk on this path of righteousness and begin your walk with Christ. You don't have to walk this path alone. You have the help of the Holy Spirit, and now you also have my help. So I want to send you resources, I want to pray for you, and I want to help you to become a strong believer. So go ahead and click the link now.
God has made a way for his children to be totally liberated from the power of sin. But many Christians don't understand this. In Marlon Benjamin's book, Undefiled, he teaches that Christ put an end to sin's control and gave us the ability to resist all its temptations when they come. Order your copy now on Amazon or marlonbenjamin.net.